Oftentimes in the Bible, we find these marvelous passages where our scripture writers want us to hear and to experience something through metaphor. This is, of course, what we have here. Wisdom is personified here oftentimes in the book of Proverbs. This isn't to say that there's some nebulous spirit named wisdom, so much so as it is the author wants us to understand that wisdom is so important and it is so central to our functioning as human beings that it is as though it were a primal force in the universe that we live in, as though wisdom is something that can be and should be first and foremost in our experience as human beings. Now, that's not to say that wisdom, or I think common sense even necessarily, are all that common. On the contrary, it seems like the more and more I look at the world, the less and less I see sense that's either common or even uncommon, or even wisdom. And part of the problem can be found if you read through the entirety of this passage in one very narrow and very important section of the passage. And that is the phrase, the fear of the Lord. Throughout the book of Psalms and throughout the book of Proverbs, and by the way, the books of Psalms and Proverbs are both part of collections of writings in the Old Testament called the Wisdom Writings. The book of Proverbs is really just Proverbs. And the book of Psalms is really poetry and music, but they both are there to teach us wisdom. And over and over and over again, both the psalmists and the writers of Proverbs come back to a single idea. And that is simply this, that the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That without that, you may not experience wisdom. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that we are all to cower in terror of a God who is perhaps dangerous, frightening, capricious, maybe even likely to strike us dead for no reason? No, that's not what the authors are talking about. Perhaps in some senses the word awe might be a better word, but awe with an element of respect and fear in the sense that one fears something that is so much greater than yourself. Because simply being in its presence reminds us of how small our capacities really are. Awe works well. But fear also captures the notion that there is a degree to which we must be willing to make our own perceptions, understandings, and ideas subservient to the perceptions, ideas, and thoughts of God. Because we must be afraid of going against God's wisdom, because in doing so, we will most certainly be committing folly. And so when the psalmist or the proverbist writes, fear is the beginning of all wisdom, what they mean is you have to have a starting point from which you build wisdom. So let's talk about wisdom for a moment. When I talk to the kids, I say the difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowing knowledge says that a tomato is in fact a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that it doesn't go in a fruit salad. And while that's kind of a fun way of putting it for kids, there's something to be had for us adults here in this concept too. And that is wisdom is understanding how to properly live life. How to properly be a human being. Wisdom is not just knowing the difference between right and wrong. Wisdom is knowing how to do that which is right and how to avoid doing that which is wrong. See, just knowing the difference between right and wrong isn't quite what the author is getting at in Psalms. You see, you can know the difference between right and wrong, but if you have no fear of God's righteousness, then you can feel free to do the wrong, because after all, what are you worried about? See, fear of the Lord also implies that we are afraid to do that which is wrong for fear of making God upset. And I don't think we think about that a lot. Because as Christians, we focus so much on the notion that Jesus Christ was given to die for our sins, and for his sake, we are forgiven wholly and completely of all of our sins, that we forget that sin still offends God. It offends God the same way as a parent. When your children do something dangerous, when they do something foolish to endanger themselves, even though you're perfectly willing to forgive your children and give them a big hug and tell them you love them, as a parent, there's still that moment of horror, fear, anger, when your children do something to endanger themselves because you love your children and you don't want them to experience sorrow, loss, and misery. The scripture passage talks about the fact that wisdom tries to tell the children of Israel the difference between right and wrong, tries to tell the children of Israel to fear the Lord, tries to tell the children of Israel how to practice right and avoid wrong. But here's the thing. They don't. And why don't they? And it comes back to the idea of beginnings. Where do you begin your understanding of how life is to be lived? If the beginning of your understanding of wisdom, how life is to be lived, begins with you, what's true for you, what feels good for you, what you have personally experienced in life, if that is the foundation of wisdom for you, that is different than having a foundation in the fear of the Lord. If you only begin from your point of view when you decide how you will live, then you are the center of your universe. And let me tell you what, it is a faulted, crumbling, and broken center that will unquestionably send you off in very, very not safe directions. But if you put God first, put God at the center of your existence, ask not, what do I feel is true? Ask not, what do I feel is good? Ask not, what do I feel comfortable doing or not doing? But ask, what does God say is good? What does God say is right? What does God say I should be comfortable doing? Then you put something at the center of your universe that does not shift. You put a truth that is bedrock hard under your feet. And that is God's wisdom. Because God's perspective is infinite. Ours is finite. God's experience is infinite. Ours is finite. God's understanding is infinite. Ours is very finite. So in every circumstance and situation, we must find a way to ask, not what am I comfortable with, not what does make me happy, but what does make God happy? What does God want? And we must do so with fear, awe, reverence, and yes, fear of the Lord, that says, if I disobey God, well, what is it that folly here is warning the people of Israel about? That if you shun wisdom, then you will suffer catastrophe and horrible things will happen to you and you will suffer all sorts of different ways. But those who fear the Lord will stand strong on that foundation that does not shift, know the right thing to do, and feel comfort in God's presence in all circumstances. So I say to you this Sunday, think about your life. Think about how you understand right and wrong, true and false. Where do you get your information from? Do you get it from the internet? Do you get it from a political party? Do you get it from an ideology? Do you get it from a celebrity? If any of those things are true, well, then you've got the wrong thing at the center. At the center first must come God. While all those other things might be useful, they're only useful when they agree with God. Because when they disagree with God, they're folly.